Hey, thanks for downloading this podcast. If you want to listen live, be sure to download the iHeartRadio app and search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again?
With Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind?
That just happened.
Welcome in. It is In This League right here on the Sports Grid.
Get on the grid.
Hey, it's Bogman. It's Welsh. We're back. We are in the daily content for you guys over here on the Sports Grid. Bogman and myself having some fun. Thank you guys for tuning in because obviously we live in weird times, Bogman. And literally, let me give you a timeline here. And you tell me the disasters of disasters. We obviously have the COVID that we're dealing with. Then, I don't know if you saw on Tuesday night, we had a tsunami warning after an earthquake hit in Russia for Hawaii. There was a tsunami warning, Bogman. And then...
Oh, the worst one. Hopefully you're going to hit it here.
I was about to say, maybe the worst of event of everything, Netflix down.
What? When did that happen?
Netflix on Wednesday. Netflix goes down. Streaming service reported suffering widespread outages. Can we take any more, Bogman? Can we even take it? We can't have Netflix down.
Well, Netflix down is a problem. Like, you know, internet goes down, or we start getting any of those issues, there's going to be for real riots.
Bogman can't get on the hub, there's going to be some serious problems.
Hey, look, you know, I don't know if I've told you this before, but I'll call Cox, and Cox is our internet service provider in Arizona, the only good one. And they have the worst customer service that I've ever heard in my life.
Absolutely. Like, they could not care about you whatsoever.
I've gotten a few good people on there, but most of the time it's just, sir, you know, and I'm like, so I called and I said, yeah, the internet's out in my area. And they're like, well, we don't have any outages reporting.
I'm when
like,
was this?
I'm reporting it. Oh, this was a while
ago. Oh, okay. I was saying like right now, like you would.
Yeah, no.
You would not be calm.
No, I would not be calm. I said the internet's out, and they're like, "Well, we don't have any outages or anything in your area." I'm like, "Yeah, I'm reporting it. I'm telling you, it's 2 o'clock in the morning. I'm the only one awake. The internet's out." She's like, "Can I get you to do a couple things?" And I said, "No, you can't. I've already done all of it. I know exactly what to do when the internet goes out to try to get it back up. It's not coming back up.
Like, I'm reporting it.
I'm like, I'm telling you that there's an outage." And, well, we don't see any, and I have to wait until we get a couple of phone calls. And I'm like, no one else is up at 2. You know what I'm trying to do at 2 o'clock in the morning on the internet.
Oh, no.
Go and get it ready. Go and fix it, please. And, you know, I call back an hour later to see what they're doing about it. There's been an outage reported in your area. It'll be back up at 8 a.m. And I'm like, well, I guess I'm not getting this done.
So guess I'll see Remy tomorrow. I'll talk to her tomorrow.
Thank God I have some hard drives. So that's your second Remy drop in a couple days. Are you in on Remy recently?
No, yeah, it's just the only one I can think of at the top of my head for whatever reason. Like none are coming. none are coming up pretty quick for me, unfortunately. I mean, Annabelle's always there.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, that one. That's a mainstay for me. Maybe actually, I'll be honest with you.
Annabelle Peaks for the uninitiated.
Yeah. So. You want to know what the first name came to my mind? And this is going to be anyone under 30.
You're going to sound old.
I'm going to sound old. Anyone under 30 won't know. But when I was about to give you an adult actress reference, I was about to drop Sylvia Saint.
Sylvia Saint?
I was going to drop that is what dropped in my head. And then I was like, I got to think of something else. And then Remy LaCroix's name is just so unique that it's been stuck in my head. So then I went to that one. But Sylvia Saint was the drop I was going to give.
The adult actresses are a lot like the NFL players at this point. Like, if you can find one older than Bogman and the Welsh, it's a rarity. You know what I mean? And Sylvia Saint is 100% older than us. So for sure.
Yep. Little Houston. Little Sylvia
Houston
Saint.
500.
Yeah.
This is not the first show to reference the Houston 500.
Gabe
Morency said they're getting it worse than Houston in the Houston 500. And they use that as a
promo
too. Yeah, a promo. And I was
love this network.
I can't believe that you dropped the Houston 500 and no one knew enough about it to use it in a promo. It was my favorite moment ever. I loved it.
I love it. I love the this network is fantastic in all that they do. So thank you guys for your service. There is stuff to talk about. Bogman, I break it down. Hope you guys have enjoyed. We had Tuesday, you and Bubba. You guys dropped a show, right?
Yes, sir. True? Sorry, I was taking a sip of water there, but yes, sir. Yeah, we dropped the show on Wednesday. Bubba's been getting me with these memes of the fellow from your mom's house. So he keeps sending them to me constantly.
Who?
Yep. The guy with the large phallus. So
yeah, that guy. All right. Yeah. Well, yep. Bubba dropped an episode. We had a good episode with John Anderson. If you guys caught that yesterday, recapping an interview we did. Also, it was on the In This League Baseball podcast. You guys can check all those out. I think even some more dropping tomorrow. Bogman may be doing some college football, but today.
By the way, real quick before we jump in, I didn't even tell you what the. Did you hear about the new conspiracy theory about COVID-19?
The celebrity one?
Nope. This is it is a distraction because there's an asteroid coming towards the Earth. And that's it's going to pass, I think they said within 2 miles of the Earth, which is scary close as far as, you know, space distances go.
When did this
going to happen in April? It's going to happen in April, and apparently they've been tracking it for a while. So.
It's a conspiracy that the virus got out here, so we would be distracted.
That they're upplaying the virus because of the asteroid that might hit us. And I'm trying to find this. This says giant potentially hazardous asteroid will fly safely by Earth in April. Is what the title is. And they had to change this title because it was clickbaity.
Very,
very much because it said potentially hazardous asteroid is on its way towards Earth. That was the title of it originally. So
great article. What mouth breathers are believing that one?
Just, you know, conspiracy theorists in general, you know, this disease is being played up. So people be in their house because of the asteroid. Like, why would people care? You know, like if the asteroid's going to come kill us anyway, what difference does COVID-19 make at this point? You know what I mean? So
I saw a meme. It was the dinosaurs and there's an asteroid coming and the dinosaurs like, oh no, an asteroid is coming. And the other dinosaur is like, quick, go get all the toilet paper.
Yeah, exactly. Go wash your hands. It's an asteroid coming. But they said it's estimated to be estimated diameter of 1.5 to 2.5 miles. Okay. And let's
see. Are we
going
to be able to see it?
About the width of Manhattan. I'm not 100% sure, and this website is not liking my computer. It is
one of those websites, huh?
How
does that website not like your computer?
I know. It says as its closest approach will happen at about 5:56 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time.
When?
Yeah, it doesn't say when.
Let's do a live stream during it.
Sometime in April. NASA has classified asteroid 1998 OR2 as potentially hazardous, not because it puts Earth in danger, but because it fulfills certain criteria in the agency's classification scheme.
What is going on? We have a pandemic virus. We have earthquakes with tsunami warnings, asteroids coming by the Earth, and Netflix is down.
Yeah, what are we supposed to do?
Yeah, it's going to be the end of the world, at least let us watch Tiger King for the fourth time. That's all that we're really, really
now,
asking
this
for.
This is saying, it doesn't say the date in April that it's going to swing by, but it has when it's going to fly by again, and that's May 18th, 2031.
Is it coming back for a rest stop?
I guess. I don't know. It says
fill up.
And then it'll be back in 2048 and 2062 as well. And then, of course, April 16th, 2079.
You got any other great positive news you want to share?
No, I'm just, you know, if you weren't worried enough about
you want to
COVID
talk about Carl Anthony Towns' video?
Oh, God, that was...
Any other positivity we want to...
By the way, it's
through?
April 29th when it's going to pass
a week after my birthday. So, great.
Yep. April 29th, so that's when it'll be by, and you probably still won't be at work, so maybe get up early and go look at that asteroid. So
maybe. All right, let's talk about some actual sports stuff instead of... the end of the world, which is Netflix being down and, you know, other subsidiaries of that. Like Google going down is going to be the be all end all.
Better not. We've got all of our stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, our podcast. What are we going to do without podcasting? Pirate radio goes away. We want to talk about some football because there's some important things that have gone down and there's some important conversations to have in it. But we didn't talk about this on the In This League fantasy baseball podcast that dropped on Wednesday because this news happened after we recorded it. But Noah Syndergaard, he apparently had been experiencing some business in his elbow during spring, some discomfort. That's the word I'm looking for. Some discomfort in throwing. Nothing that was ever shared with any of us, by the way. We were never told about any of it. And during this time off, they apparently were able to get him checked out. And he is officially having Tommy John surgery. And he is a donezo. April 2021 is probably the first time he can get back to throwing. Most likely wouldn't return until, I would say, July or August of that year. And he is a free agent after next season. So he's only going to get about probably 2 months with the New York Mets before he becomes a free agent. So the Noah Syndergaard situation, it could be a bigger piece to what could be ahead for baseball. But Ken Rosenthal also shared some info that might change that. But it was quite a shock to all of our baseball systems.
Yeah, I mean, it sucks. You know, it sucks that this happened. And I guess the silver lining on this would be at least most of our drafts are pushed back, because if he was just going to have this now, most drafts would have been done. Whereas I think, what do you think, Welsh? Maybe 50% of drafts, fewer than that, have actually taken place because of the season being pushed back?
That's tough to say. I think it's probably something along those lines.
Maybe 33%. You know,
I don't know which way to go, because, you know, the final three weekends or two weekends, whatever it was, it's a big deal of, you know, for everybody. Well, at the same time, though, there were so many drafts before, probably somewhere between 40 and 60%.
Yeah. And I guess you can think of this, right? I'm looking at Yu Darvish when he had TJ surgery. That was in 2015, it looks like. So in 2015, he had TJ surgery. He came back and started 17 games in 2016. I guess it was actually mid-2014 when he had the TJ surgery. Missed all of 2015, came back 2016. His ERA was 3.41, which was nice. But in his K per nine was up a little bit, so that was okay. But then we saw him struggle in 2017. In 2018, he had injury stuff as well. And he hasn't really looked normal until, you know, the back half of last season. So it's one of these things that could definitely impact him, not just as far as getting back, but how he pitches as well.
Yeah, you know.
It's really a huge blow specifically for dynasty value.
I would love to have heard, I mean, there really hasn't been much conversation on it at all. I'd love to hear if there's a correlation to, you know, something big that I talked about. And we have a player debate with Noah Syndergaard on our our baseball feed. I don't remember who it was now. Who was it? Noah Syndergaard versus
I can't remember who it was. No, yeah, but I'll look it up.
It was a similar-ish type of injured pitcher. And, you know, one of the things that was going on with Syndergaard, which saw such lack of success, was he just lost his slider. And he couldn't grip it right, which, you know, there could be something there. It just motion was off. He wasn't, he just didn't have the right form going along with it. So what I'm getting at is, I wonder if this thing that flared up was a longer string of part of the problem, why the results were off and why he couldn't find any success. He dropped multiple miles per hour of velocity, I believe, you know, from low 90s into the high 80s of velocity on his slider. Okay, it was Darvish.
Darvish versus Syndergaard.
Not even remotely close now. But I would love to hear them talk about there being a correlation, because I would say it could even be a tiny bit more worrisome if it's something completely unrelated to his slider completely diminishing. Because then if you want to go and take the slider, which was his most dominant pitch that was getting him those big strikeouts and getting him out of jams, if you take that away while also putting on that he had Tommy John and he's out for 2 years, this couldn't be a bigger disaster for Noah Syndergaard. But if they all kind of were a part of the same piece, getting this time off, and you'd have to be okay with 2022 being his time, he can regain and he could be a really, really cheap dynasty option for people.
Yeah, he definitely could be. I would just have a hard time, you know, you have to be in a rebuild to go and get Syndergaard, which is a tough spot to be in, but you kind of have to, you got to trade something that's definitely not worth Noah Syndergaard, but you know you have to wait at least a season and a half to get him back at, you know, and I'm going to throw up air quotes, in full strength. I mean, I guess it's easier in a roto to snap him up than it is in a head-to-head, because head-to-head, you know, you're looking at the playoffs and in the back half of the season when he does come back in 2022, he's probably going to be limited in the back half too. So it just, there's all kinds of weird restrictions, you know, that you should put on yourself as far as acquiring Noah Syndergaard. Now, you have him in a couple leagues, so
do I
guess
I don't know which league.
Well, you said yesterday that you have him in a dynasty league, right? In one of them.
No, it's Syndergaard. No,
yeah, you don't.
No, Chris
okay.
Sale.
Okay, well, let's say that you do. Let's say that you have Noah Syndergaard in a dynasty league. What do you trade him away for if you're on the cusp? Because you're not going to get fair value back. We know that.
Well, I mean, we just did this bit with Chris Sale where I was telling you, and that's my what you're getting confused here, is we were talking about Chris Sale and what I did with my dynasty ranks with him. And right. I started to move him down, and I only moved him, you know, in my first pass, I moved him down to around 150. And then the more I looked at it, I was like, well, you know, I'm going to take Sean Manaea over him. You know, like you kept kind of going through the motions and realizing, all right, well, you know, you're going to have 2 years gone of Chris Sale. He's not getting any older. Noah Syndergaard has to be above a guy like Chris Sale, even though Sale's performance is at a higher level. He's just significantly older. Like, Noah Syndergaard still has an opportunity to get back right in a full season by the time he's like 28. You know what I mean? 28, 28 right, and a half, somewhere right. in there. And there's still a good road ahead, and we've seen what a fantastic pitcher he can be. So I think he, you know, I was battling with what does his value quite look like. I think in a dynasty, it's got to be something around, like, his overall value between 130 and 180, somewhere in that range. But it's going to adjust to everybody, because what you're getting at is you're talking about what is my space? What is my current space in this dynasty?
MySpace is a website.
Yeah, MySpace.com. What is the world that I live in as far as dynasty right now? If I am in a win now, you're going to trade Noah Syndergaard probably for older or pieces that you really wouldn't. If you are rebuilding, you could probably do the inverse of that, and you could kind of stash him. Let's talk a little bit more about, maybe we could talk a little bit about that, and we got some football news coming up right on the other side, so don't go anywhere. It is Bogman and the Welsh. We are here right here on Sports Grid, giving you some daily content while you guys are trying to get by, probably in your homes, but maybe you're still doing some driving. But hey, guess what? Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice. We play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
Hey, in this league.
Look at us. Look at us. Huh? Who would have thought?
Not me.
Not me. Not me.
Who would have thought?
Not me.
Not me.
Look at us.
Look at us.
Who would have thought?
Not me.
Not me. Welcome back. It is In This League right here on the Sports Grid. It is Bogman and the Welsh. You can find us on Twitter at Is It The Welsh, at Bogman Sports. You go to InThisLeague.com. It will take you to our Patreon. When you check it out, you can listen to all the, you know, comedy shows we've got, backlog. We've been doing live streams, trying to drop a Oregon Trail, which you might be able to check out, an Oregon Trail live stream. That's our video game of choice, not MLB The Show like everybody else, and a whole bunch more. Tons and tons of stuff, and as little as $5, you guys can find some really good entertainment right now, and we are churning out extra content for everybody while we are missing sports. Though, you know, we kind of dashed over it as we were talking about Noah Syndergaard. Two pieces of information that dropped out there was, A, you had Ken Rosenthal, who was talking about MLB kind of coming to an agreement. MLB has been huddled up trying to figure out, you know, what they want to do about things. One of the big questions was going to be service time. You know, if there's only 100 games, how were they going to treat, you know, contractually service time or full years, all that type of stuff. And it sounds like if they play it all this year, they're going to get full credit. But then Craig Mish of Sports Grid dropped that baseball is nothing is confirmed or anything like this, but they're tentatively kind of having a conversation about trying to play between 140 and 150 games for this coming year. They would probably have them, I guess, playing around June. And then also you would see a bunch more doubleheaders. The draft would still happen, but it might be cut down to 10 rounds. So baseball is like in active works of trying to figure out what the steps are going to be for what it seems like they're presuming a season in the horizon.
Yeah, and a season with most of the games is what they want. Like, you know, we've heard talks about let's go ahead and start in June, one day off a week, two doubleheaders a week. So, which you'd need probably expanded rosters and all that stuff.
Yeah,
for
they
as
might
well.
They might have to go back to like a 40-man roster type of thing.
Right, right. I don't know if it'd get to a 40-man, but I could see them pushing it to like 30. You know what I mean? Some weird exemption for this year, as if this year isn't weird enough already, yeah. Right? So there's going to be some of that stuff going on as well. I think that if they do that, we're probably going to see a lot of 6-man rotations as well instead of 5-man rotations. If the games are all going to be on top of each other and stuff like that, and only one day off a week, so probably 6-man rotations, maybe even weird spot starters. I'm most excited to see what the hell the Rays do with the season, right? The Welsh, well, like in a normal season, they were having openers and weird stuff and all that crap.
We talked about that not too long ago. Just I think it was over on the ITL pod, was that the rumors coming out of the Rays camp was that they had multiple players that were put in really weird situations that were going to be essentially given like full roles. Yarbrough and Yanni Chirinos, instead of being openers, were going to be given the opportunity to be actual starters. And Nick Anderson was going to be the guy that was going to be in line for the majority of the save. So as much as they tinker with stuff, it looks like they were kind of on the forefront of maybe.
And you believe that.
Well, I kind of do.
You believe that the Rays are going to do something normal. I don't know if I can.
Well, I don't know now. I don't know what any of these I mean, that this is why, you know, we just did that episode on, you know, how your draft strategy has to change for this coming season. If you think about less rest days, more doubleheaders, the amount of the opportunity that teams are going to probably give other players, where you're going to have, you know, some of the studs probably sitting on more days than you expect. And you could look at it two other ways as well. You could look at it that teams under this scenario with less innings on a total year might be willing to go 4 days between starts. But you could also see teams wanting to spread the entire thing out. We just don't know. So the fantasy impact of this presumed season that Craig Mish is talking about, where let's just say they play 130 games or 140, because I think he might have thrown out 150. Let's say 140 games. If that were to happen, we don't know what the landscape looks like. And there right. are things that are going to happen that none of us could have predicted.
Of course.
The best thing you can do is, A, you could swing for the fences by taking all of the risks, but this might be the year of years to take less risk than ever. And Noah Syndergaard, to be fair, would have been one of those risks where coming in, you were banking on him being able to fix that slider. And I don't think there were necessarily crazy injury things that were following him. He's not this crazy injury prone player, but there were question marks. He's obviously answered that, but it might be kind of a table setter for everybody going into whenever your drafts are going to happen. You know, let's say they pick back up or people want to do new stuff. We're in for things that we never knew about. I'm probably going to take less risks than I've ever taken before in any new league that we would possibly be drafting in.
Yeah, I mean, I can see that for sure. I mean, we knew that Syndergaard wasn't right last year. I mean, because you look at his career, 3.24, 2.60, 2.97, 3.03, 4.28. One of these things is not like the other, right, Welsh? So that was his ERA from 2015 to 2019. So 4 is just not in even the XFIP in Sierra. You know, his XFIP was 3.83. His Sierra was 4.02. His highest Sierra before last season, 3.55, and highest XFIP before last year was 3.29. So to go up to 3.83 and 4.02, it's just kind of insane. So this is probably, and he started all 32 games last year, and all of the all of the streaming sites or the projection sites, the Bat, ATC, and Zips, all had him at 31 starts, which is pretty much all your starts in a normal season. So to see him go down like this is such a surprise. But let's get back to that question I was asking you before the break, the Welsh, where if you own Noah Syndergaard in a dynasty league and you're right on the cusp, you know what I mean? What are you trying to get for him? Are you trying to fill in? Are you trying to get back another starter that's just not as good? Are you trying to get maybe some closers you lack, maybe some speed you lack or power or something like that? Are you treating him like a chip that is going to help you push over the hump here? Or are you saying like, I just know I cannot get anything good enough back for Syndergaard, so I'm going to have to stash him for as long as he's out?
Well, I mean, that second part, it's relative to the league. Like, I don't know. I'd have to put it out there. Like, I'm probably more finicky than a lot of people. Like, Noah Syndergaard is a huge talent. But if I'm a big win now team, I think I'm more open than I ever was before. Like, let me throw some names out to you, because I don't know what it is I can get. Because this is determined that if I'm winning now and I'm trying to move on from Syndergaard, it's got to be a rebuild team that wants to buy him. But here's the problem. Rebuild teams aren't necessarily in on buying pitching. That's not really the procedure you would go. It's at least that I would suggest to people. If I'm in a full rebuild, I'm out there trying to get hitters. And then once you've built up the hitting, then you can start taking on the pitching. So if I'm looking to buy Syndergaard, I want him on the cheap. The guy who's selling him doesn't want to sell him cheap. So you've got to find a medium. So you could have a scenario, and I'm not saying this would be the case, but take this for example. You've got a team that's, you know, ready to blow it up. You know, they've already blown it up. They know they're not in it for a couple years, and they have Charlie Morton. I mean, if you had Syndergaard, would you trade, you know, the two lost years of Syndergaard and then obviously knowing the future for one all-in year of Charlie Morton?
That's such a good line to draw. I think that, because Charlie Morton's 36 and he's already like he's made his dynasty value known.
He has.
By saying, yeah, if I don't pitch up to snuff, I'll just retire. You know, I'm not going to play. Last 2 years, he's been solid, obviously 30 starts and 33 starts. Last season, 194 innings. Of course, that was the first time he ever went over 170.
And guess what? If there's 150 innings to be had this year, Charlie Morton can play an entire full season. What are they going to hold him back for? So
you would
have a full go Charlie Morton for one season for an all-in, and it costs you Syndergaard, who you know you'd have to eat the next 2 years on.
I think that's fair. I don't know that I would do it, depending on where my team is and stuff, but I think that's a fair offer. I think if Charlie Morton was the first offer I got, I think I'd want to hold out for a couple more just to see what the other ones are. But I do think that Charlie Morton is probably as close as fair that you're going to get.
Yeah. See, then otherwise
in a deal,
you're just looking at a whole bunch of different scenarios where the best way that you could possibly tackle this is going and finding the owner that wants to purchase him, that has got some playable pieces. Cause I don't know, like, could you get Bumgarner from somebody? Bumgarner's 3 years older and he's going to have two more years in front of him. Could you do that? The person who has Bumgarner, the only reason they would do this is if they were consolidating. You know, I don't need Bumgarner. And by the way, if you had Syndergaard and you could get Bumgarner, you might have to throw some on top of Syndergaard, like a pick for this away team.
Really? Really?
Yeah.
Because my initial thought was you'd have to give me more than Bumgarner.
I don't think so. I'll bet you if we pulled it, you would see a majority of people need
you
more.
You could definitely be right. I wouldn't argue that part hard. I'm just saying that my initial thought was, ugh.
Well, of course, Noah Syndergaard for Madison Bumgarner. That's stupid. But then there's this inverse here too, where like a rebuild team is not going to trade away guys like AJ Puck or Dustin May, even if Syndergaard should be valued over them.
No, what I was thinking, if you could get like, you know, so a little bit of, you know, one category and like some saves you need, like if you could get Kenley Jansen and an outfielder. I don't even know which outfielder I would be thinking of right now.
I don't
but
think you'll get Kenley for Syndergaard right now.
It's just straight up?
Even, no, I don't think so. I think it has to look something more like, let me throw this out to you.
I'll tell you what, if I'm a rebuilding team and I can get Syndergaard for Kenley Jansen, I do that straight up all day, every day.
I think you're probably looking at something more like Matthew Boyd and I mean, maybe
like Nick Anderson.
Nick Anderson, yeah, maybe Ken Giles. How about Ken Giles and Matthew Boyd? You get for your center guard.
I think I could definitely see doing that trade right there. Obviously, Boyd. You know, it's rough that he's on the Tigers, but we think that he's definitely a trade candidate for somebody.
Yeah.
So I like that deal. I think that's a fair deal right there, because then you get some saves you need and you get a starter you need. But I will say that before you do any deal with Noah Syndergaard, especially if you're a competing team in a dynasty league right now, you cannot make a trade until the season is officially announced to start, right?
You're saying because if there is no season this year,
because if there's
that
no season, you just burned Syndergaard for a year you didn't get much back for him. So.
Yeah, well, I mean, especially in the Charlie Morton situation.
Yes. Yeah. Especially in the Charlie Morton situation, for sure.
Yeah. I think clarity helps at all, but you know, you might have someone that's aggressive out there. That's the weird situation of Noah Syndergaard, because regardless of him pitching a little bit next year, I would not count on anything that matters until 2022. And frankly, he could be a hindrance, by the way, if you have to roster him on your major league roster in 2021 and he's just pitching, you know, three innings, or he's pitching bullpen or something.
Right, exactly. Do you think that every deal right now should be like that? Like, it's agreed upon, but we're not going to pull the trigger on it until the season starts?
I think you could, but I think someone in that deal is going to be dicey. Like, okay. I think if you guys want to talk about it and you just be like, hey, we're both interested in this, let's talk when it gets closer, okay. But I think, like, you're always going to be somebody that's making a move because of the current state of value. It's like, well, you know, the value changes. Like, you know, you have to pay the price right now for all the variables. There's a lot of people that work like that. Like, they're making a move consistent with the variables that are around them. If you start giving answers to them, that change, you know, so then you might have somebody that wants like more. Be like, oh, well, now Syndergaard for, you know, now the season is canceled, so I really want more, you know. So I think I can get dicey, but I think it's easy to say like, yeah, we're interested, let's just wait till we have more, instead of agreeing to a deal.
Okay, so you would rather push back talks until we get an official date and we know we're going to ramp up. Like
if
you start doing spring training stuff.
Yeah,
you know?
Well, if you're worried about it. I have no problem talking. I mean, believe me, I've gone to a couple of my teams
about
and
it.
Looked.
I wouldn't say that I'm worried about it right now. I would just say that that is something that's within the realm of possibility. So I wouldn't really want to pull the trigger on a deal. I have, you know, until they start ramping up and we know they're going, like, we know it's going to happen. Not like right now where it's kind of everything's still a bit up in the air. I mean, they're just laying down the plans for stuff really today and yesterday. So I don't know. Maybe I am, the more I'm talking about, maybe I am a little more sketched out. But
I think you're more sketched out. Yeah,
it's really about trading injured players. Because if you're just doing a trade straight up, like if you guys are just talking and like, I would rather have this than this, and neither of those guys are hurt, do that deal. That's
yeah,
fine.
But
in it, something like this with an injured player that you have to wait on, I would wait until we definitely.
But I think you also need to acknowledge, though, you're not one that's you don't buy injured players. I don't think I've ever seen you do that. I don't see you go and buy the injured guy and you're like, hey, I'm going to buy on this. Like, that's just not your play, unless you are just so deeply out of it. So,
I've bought injured players before. It's not something that I do. Like, I'm not constantly like, I didn't go and scour every single dynasty league I'm in and look for who owns Noah Syndergaard. I don't think it's my deal, but when I'm looking at deals, it's something I'll look at, especially if my team is, you know, if my team is in the middle and I may or may not make the playoffs and it's kind of getting to the point where I know I'm not going to get there, then I'll look. You know what I mean?
But don't you agree, if you had interest in Noah Syndergaard, you would do it right now? Don't you think?
I think now is the best time to do it. Yes.
Yeah. Without any circumstantial stuff
could
change.
Because the owner's frustrated and yeah. Yeah. So I'm with you on that for sure. 100%.
Okay. All right. By the way, also, just since we're in a little period before we hit break here, I don't know if you saw this, but Willie Calhoun is cleared for light workouts, you know, whatever, at his house, I suppose that's where it is, because
I mean, he vowed to be back and I think he's definitely making it.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like it. Yeah, it absolutely looks like it. Already cleared with the jaw issues, which, you know, his value really kind of shifted, even though he was a deal. That was my biggest issue with him, is he was like a deal before he got injured. And then the injury happened and people got kind of really weird about him. But he's already looking like, you know, whenever a presumed season could get back together, that he would be good to go, which I think is a pretty damn positive. Any other thoughts on any of the other injured guys? I mean, I feel like we've talked a decent amount about Aaron Judge, but that seems to be kind of the biggest one that's looming around for us as well.
Yeah, I think it's kind of a holding pattern. Most of these guys are going to be recovered by the time the season starts, unless they have TJ. So I'm kind of in on most of those guys. So
when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit of football, because there's a still constant quarterback carousel that's happening, and one blatantly obvious major guy is still sitting out there, and he needs a job, and things are starting to become a tiny bit clearer. We've had trades. We're still having movement even to this. I mean, we just had Nadakam Sue just signed a deal with the Bucks. There's still movement going around the NFL. Wide receivers are finding some homes. So let's pick up on some football. So don't go anywhere. More In This League coming up on the other side of this break.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice. We play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
Yeah, man, I'll tell you what, that dang old...
In This League.
Talk about www.com, you made you go click, 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 click. It's real easy, man.
I don't know what you're saying, but that's what's going on, yeah.
Welcome back, In This League, right here on Sports Grid, on Twitter, at Is It The Welsh, at Bogman Sports. That's where you guys can find us. You can chat it up with us. You can find all of our content. Baseball podcasts, we dropped three different this week. We got two debates. One hasn't aired yet. And then we've got a brand new show. We have got the Prospect Podcast coming up Friday. We're just churning out content left and right. So go and check us out and subscribe to the feeds. Football, though. We just did a brand new black
book.
Talked about a little bit of the football. Cam Newton, they could not find a home, and they officially released him. He is no longer a Carolina Panther. He saw some weird tweet. He was like, new profile pic, and it was just some stupid picture of him. And I was like, why don't you wait until you sign with the team?
Like, did you see Dusty said, these are the comments from Cam Newton after being released by the Panthers, and you click on the link, and it's just a picture of hieroglyphics.
I mean, that makes sense. I'm not sure I hate anything that a athlete does more than that. The weird font
text thing.
Yeah, it's
so annoying. I don't understand it. It's weird. And it's like, come on, man. Like, you're Cam Newton. You don't get enough attention. Now you got to do, not only does he do the weird hieroglyphic jobs or whatever it is on there, but it's all caps as well. So it's all caps because I think those weird things are only available in capitals. So it's all caps. It's got to take him forever to figure that out, right?
Well, I think what he probably did, though, is he probably changed his keyboard. You know how you can like download keyboards
just to Egyptian or whatever.
Yeah, to whatever hieroglyphic. Why can't I say it?
Hieroglyphics.
It sounded like I was saying it wrong.
Hieroglyphics.
Hail Hyra. Griffics.
It's kind of, I mean, my.
I feel like
my
I'm Griffics doesn't sound right when I say it
a little bit.
Hieroglyphics. It doesn't sound
right.
You
just said hieroglyphics.
Griffics.
You sound like Cartman.
Glyphics.
Saying hero,
Jiminy Glicket.
Jiminy Cricket.
Say it again.
Hieroglyphics.
It doesn't sound right.
You have a weird pause. It's
hieroglyphics.
Like, I say it's like how when I say Kershaw when I really
hieroglyphics.
Stretch it out, hieroglyphics.
Yeah, hieroglyphics.
Hieroglyphics.
Okay, so I'm saying it right now.
Littering and?
Not a fan of that word.
And?
No, I mean, there's a lot of words that we got away with that I wish I could say in place of hieroglyphics.
You could say Egyptian writing next time.
Yeah.
How about
that? See, even more reason to be annoyed with Cam Newton. So the biggest discussion is where he is. Let me bring this up because I feel like we haven't hit this over the head too crazy. We talked about it on the Black Book. I've openly said I feel like the Denver Broncos are a fit, though the Broncos are showing no desire that would be the case. What do you think, because this got brought up and we're in a situation where this really doesn't look like there's a viable spot for him right now. What do you think about the actual idea if he can't be a starter in 2020? What is Cam Newton? Do you think Cam Newton does just go and swallow his pride and back up somewhere? Jeez, I can't talk.
Nope. I think he'll take a year off.
Okay, that's where I was going, because I kind of think that would be the play too.
He's too much ego driven to be a backup anywhere. I think, you know, like I just cannot see it happening somewhere. You know, look, he may sign late. You know, like if the Patriots go into camp and they've got Stidham and Brian Hoyer, and Belichick just looks and goes, oh, this ain't
why wouldn't work. He do it right now? Just go, oh.
Well, he likes Hoyer for whatever reason. And you know, he's not one to go out and overspend or panic buy or any of that stuff. Like, I imagine that Belichick has 3 to 4 rolls of toilet paper. And when people ask him about it, he's like, we'll be fine. We'll acquire some toilet paper when we need some toilet paper. But until then, we're going to be okay. You know, so I think that, you know, and the Patriots could sign any of those guys out there. I mean, Winston is also still out there. I don't know that that is fit as far as attitude goes, Winston with Belichick. But you see a lot of players go into New England and change their tune. You know, I was watching, I've been watching a lot of NFL Network recently, the Welsh, and it's kind of funny twofold here. That, you know, you see the one about Steve Smith getting cut by the Panthers because him and Cam kind of weren't getting along. And he goes to Baltimore and blows it up in Baltimore. He was awesome there. And now Cam Newton's kind of getting the same deal from Carolina. He's getting the shaft because they want to go a different way because of the coaching staff. And now he's in the same spot. But when Chad Johnson went to New England, he quit his whole swagger stuff. He wasn't sending you know, boxes of Pepto-Bismol to opposing corners. He wasn't making a bunch of weird statements in the media. So New England has a way of changing a player. So you could see Cam Newton or Jameis Winston ending up there and really having a shift as far as their personality goes if they're going to go in and work there.
I think that fits. I've never questioned there being a fit issue for those guys. Belichick just wants the best players. You know, sometimes the cast around him, you can tell that's all he cares about is just having the best players. But they just, like, why haven't they made that move? You know, why haven't they signed Jameis, or why haven't they picked up Cam Newton? I mean, New England doesn't seem interested. So I just don't, why I don't see that it's a fit issue or like a personality fit issue. It's just Belichick doesn't want him. He obviously
there might also be someone that they really like in the draft and they're waiting to take that guy. That was kind of Jacoby Brissett when they originally drafted him.
You remember what I said months and months ago, where I was like, my gut feeling was like Tua would fall, which probably won't happen. It would fall enough that the Patriots could trade up and they could get Tua, and then, but my logic was they sign Brady for one more year and then Tua plays the following year, which wouldn't be the case here, obviously.
And it might be the case, but different. Like they might just really like Jordan Love out of Utah State and know that he's going to be available for them, you know, or they can trade up to get him or whatever. So that might be who they're into. They might like another quarterback all around. Maybe they like Jalen Hurts out of Oklahoma, you know, and they know that he's a guy that they could possibly acquire. So there's definitely a plan in New England there. I don't think they would say, yeah, we're going in with Stidham and Hoyer and we're going to find a way to make it work, because
no. Yeah. I mean, but Belichick is the ultimate, like, I have belief in this guy. We've got a plan. Again, that none of those are my questions whatsoever. I'm just fascinated by the Jameis and the Cam Newton situation, where, you know, we've been associating Winston with the Jaguars. But I have a hard time believing either one of these quarterbacks, let's just for argument's sake here for a minute, says that there is no starting job. You know, the quarterbacks, the teams that have got a potential quarterback as a draftable player, like the Chargers, if they got Tyrod Taylor and then they're going to take Burrow, Herbert, those teams aren't going to be interested at all in bringing in those guys. So if you take three teams away that are going to get the viable quarterbacks in the draft and then everybody else is set, I just don't see Winston or Cam Newton either way taking backup jobs in any single spot in the NFL, and that would put them on the sidelines, and that would hurt, I think Winston more than Newton.
Yeah, I think Winston could take a backup job. I don't think his ego is nearly as big as Cam's, so I could see him taking a backup job wherever. I think he would hold out and want to back up for someone that whose job is a little shaky. You know, like maybe he wants to go to Vegas and play for the Raiders and sit behind Derek Carr should they not trade him. You know, maybe he wants to sign in Cincinnati. And you know, it's him and Joe Burrow kind of competing for the job in Cincinnati. You would think that Burrow is going to be their guy, but that's a possibility. Maybe he wants to go and, you know, sign with Green Bay and sit behind Aaron Rodgers, because Aaron Rodgers, who knows how long he's got left in the gas tank, or New Orleans, you know, go and sit behind Drew Brees. Drew Brees signed a 2-year deal, but he's on the edge of retirement as well.
Any so of those, I don't know.
I can see Winston doing that. I can't see Cam doing that. I just can't.
I'm in agreement with you on Cam that if he's not given at least the opportunity for a starting gig, I just don't see him signing anywhere. I don't, the places that you brought up, I'm not sure make a ton of sense, just because like these guys are going to sign 1-year deals. They probably would like to sign 1-year deals with a place that maybe they're given an opportunity. They're not going to get an opportunity unless an injury goes down, where like, let's take Detroit for a second. Maybe they wouldn't be guaranteed a starting spot, but you might have more competition with Matthew Stafford there. You know, there's more competition to be had, or, you know, I'm kind of looking through here. I mean, the Jaguars would be one that could say, you know, you're not guaranteed to be a starter. Like, those are the only situations. And you keep bringing up the Raiders. The Vegas team makes all the sense in the world, except that they just signed Mariota.
That's just weirdly unsettled, Vegas, because they keep saying they like Derek Carr, but they've done their due diligence on Winston, and they haven't signed him, so I don't think that's necessarily going to happen. I think Cam would be more likely there since he just got released. But, you know, Mariota signed what is very much a backup deal, you know, so it seems like he's going to back up Carr at this point. Well, we've also heard rumors that Carr could get flipped to New England. Maybe they just haven't worked anything out there. And if that happens, then are they going to start Mariota? I don't know if I want to do that going into a brand new building, start Mariota. He just has not been good in the NFL so far.
At the beginning of last year, would you have believed that Ryan Tannehill got a contract extension and is the no-doubt starter, and Cam Newton is a free agent with literally no viable starting option? Right,
not
now.
A chance in hell. Crazy. No. Ryan Tannehill's career was, look, he had a couple good years in Miami. I mean, our boy Casey Bubba, a Dolphins fan, and that's a jersey he owned, is Ryan Tannehill, because he was so good with Miami. But it was one good year, and there's no way I would have thought about that. But sometimes you just get with the right coaches and things click, you know?
Yeah.
So
another quarterback situation. I saw Liz Loza from Yahoo post that she was hearing a rumor that the Cowboys and Dak were getting close to a contract extension that would net him. This is her report. Yahoo Sports would net Dak about $35 million per season. What do you think about that one?
I mean, I think that's, someone else would have paid him that, someone that doesn't have a quarterback, specifically like the Redskins. You know what I mean? If Washington, if he became available, Washington could get him and get him away from the Cowboys, kind of a double whammy. So, I mean, the Bears, you could see signing a guy like that as well, instead of trading for Nick Foles or something if he was a free agent. So that's a lot. It's a lot of money, and it's going to eat up a lot of cap space. But I mean, I guess it's not that surprising. That's something that he was kind of holding out for. So, we initially heard $40 million a year, and everyone was like, no way, he's not getting that. So getting 35 when you hear 40 and everyone laughed at you, I feel like is a win for Dak.
If it happens, I mean, that's them shoring up their guys, and, you know, emptying the market a little bit as far as what quarterbacks look like. A couple of the moves that happened around the NFL, Tyler Eifert signed a 2-year deal with the Jaguars, showed signs of health and just consistency, and he's now going to go to a Jaguars team that's got some good offensive weapons. Yay or nay on the move?
I like the move for Eifert. Just get him out of Cincinnati, where he's had all kinds of issues. Get him onto a team. I mean, the talent has always been there for Eifert. The dude just can't stay on the field. I don't like it because I really like the guy that they drafted out of San Jose State last year, Josh Oliver, and he got banged up last year and barely played. So we're probably not going to see him, but good move for Eifert. I like it. And whoever the quarterback there now has somewhat of a safety blanket over the middle. So
Packers signed Devin Funchess. Yay or nay?
No, I don't like
Huge
Devin Funchess.
No.
I don't know why they would sign Devin Funchess, specifically because he just goes in and he's just like all the rest of that crap they have at wide receiver too, right?
It almost felt like they're like, hey, here's our red zone replacement for Jimmy Graham, which we're not going to use also.
They use him more as a tight end because that's what he was in college in Michigan.
This one is way more interesting, though. Minnesota signed Tajae Sharpe as a replacement to Stephon Diggs. And if you're to believe this, obviously Minnesota runs the ball practically more than anybody. So we know that's the first what they're going to do, but they can sling the ball. Sharpe goes into a situation where he's a barely used player, not much of a force, into being the guy besides Adam Thielen. So, I mean, is he going to be kind of a fantasy sleeper for 2020?
I think he is. And I really, really, really like this move for Minnesota. And I really like it for Tajae specifically because he was a guy I was excited about coming out of the draft. But, you know, we just talked about how crappy Marcus Mariota was for a long time, and that was his quarterback. So I think getting him with a new QB could see him boost in value a ton. Because, I mean, just looking last year, he only had 4 touchdowns. 2 of them were in the same game against New Orleans. And he had 1 or 2 receptions in every game except that one where he had 5. And he had a couple donuts in there as well. So I'm excited to see him with a new QB. So I really, you know, you bring up sleeper value, which is almost non-existent in fantasy anymore, but I think Sharpe is definitely going to fly under the radar.
Yeah, because he's just like a, you know, a practically no-named person that replaces a big name in an offense that doesn't like to pass the ball as much as, you know, really any other NFL team. So it's a really crazy move. Obviously, the Vikings could go and surprise us, and they could take a wide receiver in the draft, and then, you know, you could start to muddy this. It could take a Debo type, and then that guy can end up being like a number 2. And, you know, 3 wide receivers don't really work well in Minnesota, but it's a pretty pretty interesting under the radar move. And then just curious your take on Robbie Anderson signs with the Carolina Panthers. It really opens up that field. And you've always been a Robbie Anderson guy, but you've also been a DJ Moore guy.
Yeah, I hate it for Robbie Anderson's fantasy value. I really don't like it because I think, you know, in an offense like this and having Teddy Bridgewater, who doesn't have a gun, I mean, he can throw the ball downfield, but it's not his forte, right? His forte is those intermediate throws, handing the ball off to a guy like Christian McCaffrey, play action and movement and stuff like that. So I'm not necessarily a fan of this move for Robbie Anderson, but you can get him the ball early in a couple games, take a safety off the top of the defense, give McCaffrey and DJ Moore a little bit of running room. I think it's better for those guys than it is for Robbie Anderson himself. So I do like the signing, but more for DJ Moore and Christian McCaffrey than for Robbie Anderson himself.
New plan for football podcast, ITL football, coming up this week?
Yep. We're going to, I think, a mock draft this week. And then next week, I'm Emory Hunt to talk about some draft prospects. And if you check out, you know, patreon.com/ITL Army, I'm going to have dynasty ranks up at the beginning of April.
Look at that. There you go. All right, we got to get out of here. That's an hour in the books. ITL right here on the Sports Grid. Thank you guys for tuning in. We will be back with more tomorrow. And of course, a 3-hour radio show on Saturday. So make sure you're locked in. ITL, we're out.
For you.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice. We play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.